Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
You're quick with that today.
I was. I'm on my game today. I had a cappuccino.
Oh.
I had brunch this morning before the show. I'm not hungry.
We're live, and so is Cindy, because she had some caffeine. God help us all.
A little bit goes a long way with me, so, yep.
Yeah, that's...
And it's such a pretty day. I love how it was foggy this morning, and with all the flowers, it's like pink snow outside, and it's just so pretty. I love all the colors this time of the year. It's just lovely. Everywhere looks so pretty.
A little one looked out the window on the second floor and said, "Daddy, cloud in trees."
Oh, yeah. It's really sort of magical looking. And as you go, I live in Roller Park, and as you go up the hill, it gets a little foggier. So, yeah. You guys are in the treehouse area.
We're in the forest part. So.
So pretty. Love it.
So we are live today. You can reach us. We're going to be talking about the signs of spring. So
They're all around us.
Not just the weather report.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach us 410-662-8780. Tell us your culinary signs of spring. Is it a dish? Is it a produce? Is it, you know, what do you suddenly eat differently?
Are you out foraging for things? You know, are you looking for things? Is that what you like to do this time of the year? Are you looking forward to your trip to your nearest farmer to get your favorite spring product? And what would that be? You know, it's like ours is, you head out to the Eastern Shore and start to get our first asparagus in a week or two, hopefully. So,
yeah,
you know,
my hope is by Easter. I've got to talk to...
Good.
Lisa Godfrey between now and then a little more, but...
Yeah, and what do you eat for the holidays that are coming up, you know, or do you have memories of, you know, what your favorite meal was when you were a kid, what your mom or your dad made or grandma or
something?
But
spring is blowing up around us, so what brings that home for you?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. How about you?
For me, it's, you know, one of the first things I think of, my mother always made lamb at this time of the year. And since my father was in the meat business, you know, we had access to, you know, whatever. And getting spring lamb, even when I was a kid, was not hard to get. And it might have been for other people. But, you know, my dad was, you know, like I said, that was his business. So, and it was something that they both grew up with. And, you know, it was a tradition in our family. So, you know, my mother loved peas. And I just think of, you know, little white onions and peas and leg of lamb and slow roasted and just, you know, full of flavor. And I just remember lamb being something that tasted like nothing else when I was a kid. You know, it was a special, you know, we didn't have it very often. It seemed a tiny bit exotic when I was a kid. And you know, I've always loved lamb. It's one of my favorite meats to this day. You know, lamb and squab, birds. Mm-hmm. So that, and sort of like, you know, fluffy rolls, and, you know, I don't know. It's just all those sort of...
Fluffy rolls?
Yeah.
Is that a particular kind of roll?
I don't know what they would have been. They were probably like Parker House rolls, for all I know. But I just remember they were fluffy, and I thought they were. And
when
you were
a kid, you like bread to be soft, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Well, and my mom, I've probably talked about this before, but my mom used to make an hors d'oeuvre, and she would make them and put them in the freezer.
I know
Tony doesn't even want to hear me say this out loud.
Oh my God.
But you said it. You said white bread. My mom used to make this hors d'oeuvre where she would take Wonder Bread, cut the trim off, and roll it flat with a rolling pin, and then brush it with butter, and then put asparagus and blue cheese mixed with cream cheese in the center and roll it and cut it and freeze it, cut it into little pieces, and broil it. And I tell you what, I mean, that was her fancy bring it out hors d'oeuvre when we had guests. That and pound cake. My mother always, when we lived in, North Carolina when I was a little girl, the lady across the street, she was best friends with my mom, and she was from North Carolina. Of course, my mom and dad are from Pennsylvania. And the lady across the street was such a good cook. And my mom learned how to make pound cake, chocolate pound cake and lemon pound cake from her. And my mom always had pound cake in the freezer. It just, you know, my mom didn't usually work that way. You know, things were fresh and made daily and, you know, high in vitamins. And, you know, she tried to cook in such a healthy way. But she had her backups.
Pound cake and,
you know,
and
she had some pound cake and asparagus hors d'oeuvres in case somebody came over. True Southerner.
Why don't we, and I know you love your mom, why don't we update that hors d'oeuvre?
Well, I think, you know, for me, I would love to do it with brioche. You know, Chuck at our baker makes just incredible brioche. I'm totally addicted to it, and it just has such a perfect texture. And I think if we cut out a little circle of the brioche and then did lightly brush it with butter and then just, you know, really we could just pipe. I mean, there's nothing wrong with blue cheese. And we have great Stilton.
And what do you top that with, asparagus tartare or something?
You could. I mean, why not do finely chopped asparagus? Yeah, Tony.
Or asparagus.
Or you could cook it either way. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if it was, or little, like you can cut little tiny circles of asparagus. Oh my gosh, that would be so pretty and cute. And then you could just pipe out, you know, you could make it a little bit bigger so that you sort of had, you know, you could see the different components rather than a stack on the little brioche. And yeah, just pipe out. I have Stilton in my refrigerator. I mean, it's an incredible piece of cheese. We have Beanley. We have Devon Blue. We have a bunch of pieces from the British Isles. And you could just use a great piece
of
blue.
Could you make little asparagus and blue cheese sandwiches to pass?
Oh, most definitely.
With toasted brioche?
Yeah, it would be fun. Yeah, or you could put, you know, a type of cheddar in there instead. And or goat cheese. Cane's cheddar? Yeah. Cane's cheddar would be really good. I mean, that's not an orange cheddar like from the grocery store, but Cane's cheddar is a brilliant piece of cheese and really kind of sets itself apart, but that's also not exactly available. But
yeah, it's one of those English farmhouse cheddars that has a strong flavor and definitely has
a celery.
That's celery.
Yeah. Like
not
celery,
the vegetable.
C-E-L-L-A-R.
Celery like the basement in your house. But you can tell us, what are your signs of spring? You can reach us 410-662-8780 or email us if you like, foremanwolf@wypr.org. And I know for me, I'm with you on the lamb thing.
Mm-hmm.
Asparagus, absolutely. Asparagus in 1 million ways. I know that we've done an asparagus program before. I'm sure we'll do an asparagus program again.
Sure.
It is almost time for our local stuff. I think by the big holiday weekend, that stuff will be around. I've had asparagus gazpacho once that I thought was remarkable.
What was in it? I've never had asparagus gazpacho.
A lot of little tiny baby garlic that have been poached to make
yum.
A stock.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
My stomach just growled.
I got you with the asparagus gazpacho.
You can hear that on the radio. What else?
And
so the garlic?
The accent was roasted seps.
Mm. Oh, for goodness sake.
Super thinly sliced.
Wow.
Garnishing it. But yeah, that's...
So was the asparagus
in a restaurant
raw?
In
Did
Northern
you say it
Spain.
Was raw? Or it's cooked to asparagus?
It was,
would be raw, right?
It was raw. And and the broth was poured on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the super thin roasted porcini is laid on it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that surprised me I will never forget this, talking about asparagus, when we had a restaurant called Savannah many years ago, and Jean-Louis Paladin came in to Savannah and had dinner one night. He was one of the greatest chefs that ever lived in our country. He was a Frenchman, youngest 3-star Michelin chef, and one of the youngest. And he came in because he actually knew someone that worked in my kitchen, and they were pretty close. So he came in and I had asparagus on the menu. So he asked for, you know, he said, I just want a plate of asparagus. And I will never, ever forget this as long as I live. I was a young chef and I sent out a plate of asparagus to him. I was super nervous to be cooking for him. I was really excited at the same time. I moved to this part of the country from Charleston, South Carolina to go and work for him. And it did not work out. So to actually have him eating in our dining room was just crazy for me. And he loved his food. He loved everything he ate, but he sent back the plate of asparagus, which I will never forget as long as I live, because I didn't peel it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you had to peel asparagus. It was horrible for me. And yes, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, sometimes yes, sometimes no, right?
Well, that's it. And then so what sort of came full circle for me on this trip that I took to France a couple of weeks ago, because I was at Guy Savoie, who is a 3-star Michelin chef, who's also one of the greatest chefs that's ever lived. And for the first time, almost, I think on the entire trip, almost no one peeled their asparagus. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. I'm eating in a 3-star and they didn't peel it. And they were big pieces too. So it did surprise me. Typically, if it's really thin.
It's also 25 years later.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, true. That was an old way of, or that was the way that everyone in France probably did it. But Yeah, you know, if it's pencil thin asparagus, there's no way you're going to peel it because there won't be anything left. And frankly, you don't need to, because if it's that tiny, it's going to be tender and you're not going to mind having. And also all the vitamins are in that, you know, outer layer. So, well, not all of them, but a lot of them. So if it's thin, don't peel it. But as it gets bigger, you may want to.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. That's, I mean, I have other signs of spring. I'm going to go to, let's go to a call real quick. We have Frank with us, who's with us from time to time. Frank,
good,
how are you?
Good morning, Tony and Cindy. How are you?
Good. How are you, Frank?
Good. Just want to drop anchor here on lamb for a minute, because when I was growing up, that leg of lamb at Easter dinner was just the beginning. And then it would be lamb chops and braised lamb breast and lamb shanks. We'd eat lamb from then till June. And you're right, with asparagus. And when we got that late April snow that everyone said, oh, God, no, that was an excuse for lamb stew.
Oh, God.
And it was just, I feel so lucky, because I talked to so many friends that did not eat much lamb growing up.
Right.
And it's just such a wonderful, flavorful meat that I just felt lucky. And also the asparagus. You know, there are a lot of kids that don't want to eat asparagus, and we know why. And it's such a shallow aversion. But, there's no combination like it. And that was one of the true signs of spring. Dad would go down to Lexington Market and do his shopping down there, usually, you know, en route after he'd driven the bus. And it was just a real treat for us.
That's great.
That's awesome. Frank, did you ever eat lamb sandwiches? Cold lamb sandwiches?
Absolutely.
That is genuinely my favorite thing, is if you have lamb leg roasted, chilled, sliced thin, just very good aioli, or it could be Dijon mustard or something along those lines, a little bit of raw red onion, green olives chopped on it. Oh, my God.
Right. Thinly sliced. And, just wonderful. My daughter did after she graduated college, she went to New Zealand for a year. And she was on a special visa where she took jobs at agricultural concerns, and she worked on a farm that raised lambs. And she talked about, you know, the first time, you know, there came the day they had to bob those little tails. She said, I never knew lambs had longer tails than that. Ooh. And then we'd bob those little tails, and they'd go frolicking in the field, and, oh, I love lambs.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to maintain your focus.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yes, that's right. Well, she also loves the wool sweaters that they provide.
The byproducts.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frank.
Hey, thanks, Frank.
Okay, have a good day.
Great to
good
talk
Sunday.
With you.
Great, bye-bye.
That also, asparagus, my little girls from birth have loved asparagus. Because it's cute, and you can pick it up eat it. And I would always give them something to, like, dip it in. You know
sure,
what I mean? Like,
that's fun.
Even just a little simple vinaigrette or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were talking about sandwiches. I can see my dad, again, my dad was the onion man, and I can see him, you said red onions, and I can absolutely see him eating a sandwich.
Your dad's
sliced,
more of like a big fat slice of red onion, not little slivers.
Thinly sliced. And my mom also used to, she would do it with roast beef. I haven't said that in a long time. Roast beef and the roasted leg of lamb, but we would have it for lunch the next day on a piece of white bread, Tony, with gravy. It would be hot. Gosh, I used to love that. I used to hate to eat the meat, but I like the gravy on the bread.
All right. Well, during our break, I'm going to think about the gravy. You can reach us with your signs of spring food-wise. You can call 410-662-8780 or email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org, and give us your thoughts. Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. We're talking about spring, obviously. Mm-hmm. What in the heck else could you have on your mind? You can reach us 410-662-8780. Tell us your culinary signs of spring or beverage signs of spring. I have an interesting email from a listener.
Okay, good.
where you can get us. Foreman Wolf at WYPR.org. And from James on Lake Montebello, it's more of a summer thing, but it's in all caps, but.
Okay.
Once we start getting the warm, sunny days, I want to grill.
Mm-hmm.
I love walking through the neighborhood and smelling charcoal and smoke and charred meat in all directions from everyone's barbecues.
That's nice.
Once I get that smell, music starts playing in my soul. I love simple barbecue, slather-grilled chicken. That's culinary sunshine. Any ideas for something new or interesting to try on the grill? Also, do you prefer charcoal or charcoal or gas?
I prefer charcoal. Actually, I'm going to have to buy a grill for my new house, and I have decided I'm going to get a charcoal grill. It's just that flavor. Oh, my gosh, cooking over those coals. It's that and the ability to throw on a piece of wood onto a fire like that, you know, it just gives you so much versatility. Is it easy? No. Does it take time to get it going? Yes. Is it worth it? I think so. I mean, I have to admit, having a gas grill is an awful lot
you
of
have
fun
to
and
keep
very
an
easy.
Ash can.
Yeah, well, there's that too, but that's okay. If you have a fireplace, you already have one. So, but yeah, I mean, as far as grilling, there's a million things you can do on the grill. Maybe something light. You know, we have, we produce a lot of great rockfish in our region. So, you know, grilling rock with a little bit of good extra virgin olive oil to finish it and a lemon juice. Something so simple as adding some fresh herbs, basil, or a little bit of parsley. You could always make sort of almost like a ceviche marinade to put over it, even though it's a cooked fish with jalapeno, red onion, cilantro, extra virgin olive oil in that way. But there's just so many different things you can do with a grill. I think it's, you know, one of the things you have to do is have a piece of meat. If it's a piece of meat, it can't be a tough piece of meat. That's the biggest thing, really.
You can,
unless you want to
you
cook
can
it
make
forever.
A simple Dijon vinaigrette and grill asparagus. It's very, very easy to do.
And it's so good for you again.
Yeah. That's something that's a great treat. I mean, you can make your whole meal there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's fish, whether it's a piece of chicken. That the one thing I wouldn't do is do something with a sweet sauce with the asparagus. That would be an odd matchup.
Yeah. And grilled shrimp, grilled scallops.
Interestingly, we've had a question come up about losing the asparagus in the slots on the grill. And what I would tell you is think of tic-tac-toe. That will help you keep from losing the asparagus on the grill.
Right. Right, and it just also depends on what your grill is like, too. Sometimes the rods are further apart than others, and you need to be horizontal versus vertical. Right?
What?
Tic-tac-toe, you're right. Good way of putting it.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, on my list, unsurprisingly on my list, I have beverages.
I can't wait to hear what they are.
And I know that everyone wants to drink rosé, but in the spring, the first thing that I want is good Sancerre.
Okay.
So Sancerre is Sauvignon Blanc from the Loire Valley, from the hills in the town around the town of Sancerre, the most famous of which is Chavignol. And there are many very good growers, and you have a lot of 16 vintage in the market, which is an excellent year.
What are the qualities of that wine?
Well, there is a freshness and a brightness. I mean, it's coming from the same kind of soil you find in Champagne, Camarigian soil, and it gives it a certain chalkiness to the mineral finish on the wine. But there's a citrusy, there's something that goes from like citrus to green figs that is very happy and fruity and charming. But the mineral thing is from the nose all the way through the finish, and there is something of fresh herbs and the aromatics, and they kind of dance around on your palate at the same
time.
Sounds
like spring. That's
but yeah,
pretty cool.
And it's the kind of thing that, like, you're on your last, you know, traditionally you're on the last oysters of the year in the spring that you want to have. It's great with oysters. It's great with crispy little fried things like asparagus beignet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that... And it's not crazy. I mean, there are expensive and luxury bottlings of it, but it's not crazy. It's a treat, but it's not a wild treat.
Any houses that you like in particular? Or?
Oh, I mean, honestly, lots and lots. Quality in general is strong in the Appalachian. There's a producer, Alphonse Mellot, M-E-L-L-O-T, who does excellent work very consistently over the last decade in particular.
Cool.
And the price-quality ratio is fair with his stuff.
Okay, and you said 16s are available in a good year.
Yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
All right.
Let's go to Deirdre in Glen Burnie.
Hi, Deirdre.
Deirdre, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Really well. Getting hungry.
Well, this might just put you over the line.
All right.
My dad used to travel a lot when I was young, and my mother was always really happy when he got assigned a trip to the West Coast at this time of year, because he would always come back with a whole fresh shad with roe. And she had a way of baking it very slowly so that most of the bones would just dissolve.
That's great.
And she'd serve that with the roe separately with a little bit of lemon juice and butter and new potatoes and asparagus. And when we sat down to that meal, we knew spring had come.
Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
Would she put it out whole on a big platter, or did she plate it for you, or how did she serve it?
She had it on the baking tray, and then you'd go and serve yourself, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. Sort of like...
Because she knew some of us kids didn't particularly like fish.
Okay, sure.
I loved the roe. The fish was okay.
That's awesome.
But she had to hold me back from the roe pan.
That's excellent. Good for you. That's a good memory.
That's great.
Thank you for sharing, Deirdre.
Thanks, Deirdre.
Mm-hmm.
Happy spring to you.
Pretty nice. Happy spring to you.
Thank you.
May you have many violets in your yard.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, they're so pretty. It's so pretty. I mean, just, it's amazing. I feel like, I don't know, maybe because of all the rain we had last year, I don't know if things are just, you know, and
the
snowfall.
Do not jinx us. Do not jinx us.
This year. But
it was the rainiest year on record last year.
Yeah, I just think spring this year is just so pretty. I'm not wishing for too much rain. I'm just saying I think it's really, really beautiful out this year, and it seems prettier than normal. Lots of flowers.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So what's on your list?
I'm working so much with morels right now. And
yeah, also on my list.
And oh my goodness, I mean...
Hard to come by.
Yes, and right now we're getting blonde morels from Oregon, and they are as nice as I've ever seen them. And again, I wonder if it isn't because of their snowfall that they had out west, you know, this year. They've had a lot more rain and snowfall than they have for many, many years. And I can only imagine that that's helping the morel crop. And, you know, of course, they're wild. And, you know, they're not that dirty. They're healthy looking. They, I don't know what it is, but they're in great condition. There's just very little cleaning that's necessary with them, which is just great because the less water they absorb, the better for me when I go to cook
them.
That's
nice with a gathered product because usually you've got to get
they're so
sand
dirty.
And twigs
yeah.
and
usually they're just
pine
terrible.
Needles.
And... Well, and then I'm cutting every stem off of, you know, 150 mushrooms. I mean, I don't have to do that with these. It's really been a treat. So we're doing several dishes with morels, and right now I'm doing a squab dish. So the squab is pan roasted, and we're getting fresh peas, so we're garnishing the plate with the peas. We're making a pea puree, which I make very simply by sautéing onions and shallots in butter, not allowing it to color at all, just become translucent, add a little bit of light chicken stock, salt and pepper, let that cook for about 20 minutes, and then I add the peas when it's boiling, cook them for like 2 minutes, and immediately puree it and strain it, and if I'm not serving it, I chill it so that it retains its color. But it's just such a beautiful pea sauce, and then garnishing that plate with both asparagus and morels. And then I have a game bird reduction on that plate as well. And it's just, I'm really, really in love with this dish. And we're also doing a morel ravioli, and, you know, probably talked about that recently from the trip. But
if someone is looking to do something, if someone can actually find morels, and, mm-hmm. they're pretty darn expensive this year,
mm-hmm.
but they're beautiful. If you can find them... I mean, just as a simple way of preparing them to enjoy them. I mean, just as a garnish for a piece of meat, for a piece of beef.
Oh, definitely. Oh, they're just so great with so many things. Fish, scallops, piece of beef, piece of pork. I mean,
slowly roast them, get some of the water out of there.
Yeah, just wash them.
15, 20 minutes.
Wash them until I actually don't cook them that long. Just wash them until, you know, you see that water's clear, and then drain them let them sit. I let them sit for probably 10, 15 minutes to make sure they've really drained as much as they possibly can. And then I melt butter. I add a little bit of fresh rosemary to that butter and salt and pepper, and I toss them in a bowl, and I lay them out on a sheet pan on parchment paper and roast them at 350 degrees for about, actually, actually 8 minutes, but it depends. You know, again, it's that all comes down to how much water did you let them absorb? How much did they actually get to drain? How much water content did they actually have? And but you want them to begin to caramelize in the oven, and you want that moisture to be off, most of the moisture, to, not every bit of it, but a lot of the moisture to be off the pan. If they're sitting in a bunch of liquid, you've got to roast them a little longer. But those just go so well with just about, I mean, literally, I can't really think of too many things that those morels wouldn't be delicious with that you might be serving. And it elevates things like a chicken breast. You know, chicken breast and morels, that's a good combination.
It's just a classic. A roasted chicken.
Yeah.
And morels cooked in cream.
Mm-hmm. Throw a couple of pieces of seared foie gras in there.
You do foie gras in everything. I actually, for once, said that I like a dish with cream. And then you throw foie gras in it. What is going on? You cannot control yourself. So clearly, we're live. You can reach us, 410-662-8780, or email us, foremanwolf@wipr.org. I'm almost embarrassed to be a Baltimore kid because one of the first things people should have been calling in about, we've not heard yet. I'm going to have to name it myself.
What's that?
I mean, we heard the shad.
Yeah.
We talked about asparagus.
Uh-huh.
We heard about new potatoes.
Crab? Is it crab?
Soft shells.
Yeah, soft shells.
Soft shell crab.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe there are no soft shell crab fans out there. It's like you wait.
There might be some.
You wait through the whole winter for those guys to show up.
Oh my gosh, and they're so good. Although we're not getting local ones yet, but we are getting them from Charleston right now, which is crazy. Because it's so
rare. My 5-year-old calls them fried spiders.
Ew. The ones from Charleston have proven, the first one I ate of this season, I couldn't believe it. I felt like I was tasting the ocean. It was amazing. It's so good. Yeah, soft shells are incredible. Love them.
So someone's making...
So you grew up here. So what is the traditional way here to eat the soft shell?
I mean, pan fried and honestly,
and what does that mean, pan fried? Is it just a little bit of fat in the pan, or it's immersed in fat in the pan? And does it have, what's the breading?
Salt and flour.
Ah, salt and flour. Okay.
And my great grandmother put lard in the pan.
Oh yeah, baby.
Something super helpful.
There we go. We're going in the right direction.
or butter and bacon fat both.
I wish I had met her.
And she would make what she called pickling juice, which is pretty much like a vinaigrette with a lot of green onion in it.
Okay. Well, that's fun.
And mustard seeds.
I like that.
And she'd make that to dress them once they came out of the pan. That was pretty fun. And although the way that I often just saw soft shell crab sandwiches, again, pan fried, and then just with like lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise on.
Yeah, I've never had
toast.
I've never had that or heard of that. So that's kind of fun. I like that toast, lettuce, tomato. All right.
Yeah.
Soft shells. Were they small? They were small soft shells, I guess. No, not necessarily.
Totally depends. I mean, in general, pretty good size crabs are available.
What people grew up, how they ate their soft shells growing up. That would be interesting to hear.
So we have an email here from Rachel. Two special memories, pizza rustica, Easter pie, and pane de Pascua. And pane de Pascua,
yes.
I love. Easter bread. Growing up in Brooklyn, we had delicious pastries and breads every Sunday. At Easter bread and pizza rustica were the stars of the show. Couldn't wait for my dad to come home with the boxes tied with string and the bags filled with goodies.
That's neat.
That's great. Thank you, Rachel.
I love the Easter bread.
It's funny. So I've been in Italy a bunch of times at Easter. And I always look for, it's like breakfast the next day. Like I've often arrived the day after Easter. And that whole week, you're just getting the pane de Pascua.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that and a coffee in the morning and going about your day.
And it has Reggiano. Is that what they put in there? Do you know what
cheese.
Kind of cheese? Oh, it's so good. I was on one of those trips. I remember that vividly. Every winemaker we met with brought out a piece of that bread.
Yeah.
And they were all sort of different, too. So, I mean, basic same idea, but slightly altered by each family. And,
well, the Italians are good at making things that they call the same, slightly different, and then arguing about it for hours and hours and having wine.
Why not?
That's one of the most attractive things about that culture to me.
Love it. Super good.
So
that's a good memory. So anything else for you about growing up here that you know, you associate with spring? And
I mean, besides being a little boy who wanted to eat chocolate Easter eggs and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I have a gigantically off-topic question for you because someone asked me last night.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What is the strangest thing that ever happened to you in the hospitality business?
Oh, boy.
That you can talk about on the radio.
Oh, golly. Do I really have to?
Because it made me think of something immediately.
Oh, gosh. Well, I can't think of anything, so you're really killing me.
Really?
Strangest? I don't know. I had a guest cry one time when I went out to the table. That was sort of upsetting.
I thought you were going to tell the corn story.
What was the corn story? The one where
the man who was so upset that you were cooking corn.
Oh, yeah, no, I kind of blocked that one out. Yeah, I was told that corn was only to feed cattle or something. I recalled
you going out to try to yell at him, and he yelled at you.
Oh, you said strangest, not the most awful. The most, I think, for me, it's kind of negative. Strange. I don't know. Go ahead. Let's hear yours.
We're working at the Admiral Fell Inn. Our restaurant there was Savannah.
Oh, no, not the FG story. Go ahead.
So,
go ahead, Tony.
One night I'm closing the restaurant. It's like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
The night auditor, Mohammed, an Egyptian guy, very friendly,
yes,
was working the desk, and he said he needed a management person, as though I was a hotel manager. Like, Muhammad, you're avoiding something. He's like, no, I need someone that can go and take care of this lady. And like,
are you sure?
271. It's like, Muhammad, you're joking around. There was a woman who was visiting from Africa that had just gotten in from her flight.
Uh-huh.
And she was unhappy with how the bed was made.
Uh-huh.
So instead of closing the restaurant, I had to go find sheets.
Oh, boy.
And remake her bed.
Okay.
You know, uh-huh. Real glad I got the A in
hospitality
hotel housekeeping class.
How to make a bed.
I got to use that particular skill.
Uh-huh. Well, good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But she yelled at me the entire time, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In a remarkably unpleasant way.
Hmm.
And I will never, ever, if Muhammad is listening, I will never, ever forgive Muhammad for tasking me with that.
Okay. Well, no. I don't have any more stories.
But that's immediately what came to my mind.
Interesting. I don't know. Back to spring.
Yeah, let's go back to spring. I'm
sorry. Go back to spring,
that's
please.
That's been rattling around on my brain.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Well, there's we've talked.
So what else is on your list?
I really think that one of the things that I have a problem with in the springtime, this is probably not the best topic either, is that I like to cook rabbit in the springtime, but then you have to think about Easter. So it is weird how all the chefs, for some reason, we all start thinking about rabbit at this time of the year.
Who would imagine that you're thinking about rabbit?
Well, they're jumping around out there and they're, yeah. But yeah. I mean, I think the thing too is that with springtime, we are so anxious for the products to come around, and they just don't come around fast enough because we're ready. We're feeling a change in seasons.
Well, you want strawberries now, but they won't come till May.
Exactly. Yeah.
You want local peas now, but they won't come till June.
My pastry chef is like, can I buy strawberries? I'm like, oh, I don't think we should, you know? And it's just like, yeah.
The good stuff is coming first week of May. Promise.
Right. And that's,
if not before,
it's, you know, so you're really, there aren't that many things to think about. It's wild mushrooms and it's asparagus and ramps and fiddleheads and, you know, other than that, spring lamb, of course, and which we talked about, and, you know, that's
fiddleheads are great.
And then
that's my all-time favorite garnish for mozzarella.
Mm-hmm.
Just with fiddleheads that have been blanched and seasoned, and it's such a nice bitter, like, strong vegetable thing against all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Anyway, when we come back on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine, you can reach us 410-662-8780 or send us an email, foremanwolf@wipr.org. And somewhere here, we're going to sneak in a chef's challenge.
All right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She rolls her eyes. At least I didn't say Cindy Wolf was going to teach you how to cook the Easter Bunny when we come back.
Hey.
Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. You can reach us 410-662-8780. We have time for a few emails and calls before we get into the part where Cindy cries and the chef's challenge. You can email us foremanwolf@wypr.org. Like this listener, Richard. What about ramps? The essence of spring. Your recipes. We were just talking about ramps last night.
Mm-hmm. I hate ramps, sir. I can't help you.
Oh, that's a
bad word.
My 5-year-old would correct you for using that word.
I'm going to be completely honest, and I just don't like the way they taste, and I don't like working with them. So there, I'm sorry. they're too strong.
I think they have to be controlled. I think that's the biggest thing is they have to be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm very fond of when they spend a minute or two on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
I think they sweeten up, and I think the smoke does them good. And using just a little bit of the bulb and a little bit of the green to flavor something, maybe it's like a relish for fish or maybe it's for a compound butter for a piece of meat off the grill, or a dressing for new potatoes. I mean that might be just super delicious.
All those things make sense.
But yeah, I think to me it's it's a really strong note. It's a little bit like oregano, where it's got to be controlled in order to be attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't use the H word.
I have an email from Mr. Weinfeld, and he is correct. His daughter is the person that worked for me in the kitchen, and she is one that I adore. And when Jean-Louis came to visit. So, yeah, please tell her I said hi.
Another email from Will in Waverly. We've not heard from him for a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Let's
hope he's having a nice spring. I know they're a little ways away, but I always look forward to fresh favas. I don't think you need to do a whole lot to make them delicious, but was wondering if you have a favorite recipe using fava beans. And I can tell you the easiest one.
Go ahead.
Open them when they're very fresh, peel them, and dip them in like big crunchy sea salt, and put them in your mouth, because you can eat them like peanuts if you want to, like that.
So good.
That and a glass of some really fresh young Sangiovese, just great.
Mm-hmm.
Just great. And it's not just like a memory from standing in some beautiful place in the Kent Classico zone and eating them that way, but they're just fun to do.
That doesn't hurt either.
No, it doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt. The thing about fava beans, you blanch them quickly. So heavily salted water, blanch them, peel them. You have to peel them. And so obviously you blanch them, you shock them, you peel them in ice water. And I really like them. One of my favorite things to do with them is right before you serve them, lightly chop them, toss them with a good extra virgin olive oil that's pretty fruity, not one that's super rich, but more on the fruity side, maybe sort of a lemony feeling, maybe something from the southern part of France, and a little bit of salt and pepper and lemon. And it's just, make like a little relish. And, and I just love them chopped. I don't know why, but there's just something about them
being
chopped.
That's exactly the kind of thing you do for the bruschetta.
Mm-hmm.
It's also because they have that nutty, little bit bitter flavor. It's nice to have something rich with them, a little bit of sheep's milk ricotta or goat's milk ricotta, just seasoned, maybe with a lot of fresh chive or a little tarragon or something, is super nice. It's like a little dollop of that. And
definitely.
And then your chopped fava. So grill the bread, dollop of the ricotta, chopped favas.
We also do a bruschetta with the chopped favas and goat cheese in the food processor. And that's just ridiculously good. Your ratio is probably 80% favas and 20% goat cheese, a little bit of extra virgin olive oil and salt and pepper in that one. And don't pulse it like into oblivion, just sort of break it up until it makes a mass. And yeah, you can quenelle that or spoon it onto a buttery toast point that you bake in the oven rather than the grilled tone. And and you could just basically add anything to that. But, just fish and fava beans, like rockfish or, some sort of fish like that.
You know what I want with fava beans? And I haven't done it, and I'm going to do it this year. Maryland crab soup, but instead of the limas, favas.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
Just because they have a little bit stronger flavor. I love limas, but because they have a little bit more intense flavor and that little bit of bitter. I think that'd be nice.
I think you could also do crab cakes with fava beans. Again, sort of roughly chopped, maybe a little bit of roasted corn.
You mean as a
garnish?
As a garnish.
As a garnish,
for
not
crab
in them.
Cakes.
Not in
the. Don't be putting
them.
Fava beans in my crab cakes. All right, lady.
All right.
Here you go. You're in trouble now. Chef's challenge. Good luck.
Oh my God! Lemons, asparagus, ramps. Oh, Tony, chicken of the woods.
Ramps.
New. Red skin potatoes, rockfish, saffron, garlic, sweet, white, turnips, shallots, white, balsamic vinegar, baby kale, extra virgin olive oil, dairy, all because why not? Reggiano and fava beans. Huh, interesting. Okay. Well, asparagus, ramps. Okay. With the rockfish. So I'll do the ramps. Oof. The ramps with the rockfish, which is a little horrifying. But I think what I'll do with the ramps is just split them. So I'll wash them really well. Cut the tops off, so discard maybe 25% or so of them, and
the stuff that looks like your grass.
Yeah, and split them, and then just lightly grill them, and make a bed of kale. What am I gonna do with that kale? Okay, I'm gonna blanch the fava beans, clean them, and I will roughly chop them. I'll have those on the plate. I will also have the roasted red skin potatoes on the plate. And I think I can get away with a little bit of the asparagus on the plate as well. As this is going to be interesting. Fava's asparagus, ramps, and potatoes.
Okay.
No, stop. Asparagus, ramps, fava's, and potatoes with the rockfish.
Sometimes it's nice to have more than one dish.
And then I'm going to have the extra virgin olive oil. I'm going to steep the saffron in a little bit of lemon juice because saffron needs to be in liquid, not fat, to steep, and then add the extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of finely chopped shallots, and that will be the vinaigrette for the rockfish with those ingredients. The mushrooms I will do separately. Okay, so I'm going to make a little salad with the white turnips, so little sweet white turnips. I'll probably just quarter them since they're little. The balsamic, and I'll chiffonade the kale. Add a little bit of just sort of lay it out as a bed with the kale sort of right down the center of the plate. Then lay out thinly sliced, quartered turnips laid out through the center. Hit it with the balsamic vinegar. Again, a little bit of Reggiano. The Reggiano and the extra
white
version.
Balsamico, so not so sweet.
Yeah, and I think I used everything, but I didn't use dairy.
That's amazing.
Here you go, Tony.
All right,
so
let's see.
It's possible.
Let's see here. Leg of lamb, peas, favas, asparagus, shallots, garlic, beet carrots. Is that baby carrots or B-grade carrots?
Baby.
Spinach, morels, baguette, extra virgin olive oil, all citrus, because I'm from Florida. No. Any herbs, micro chervil.
Just threw that in there for fun.
Chervil's small enough to start with. Not the micro it. Pine nuts, flour, eggs, strawberry. I thought we just talked about it. You really shouldn't be buying strawberries yet. It's not time. Pickled red onions, ground almonds, avocado. Sounds like somebody's breakfast. All right. The morels, I want to do something that's about the morels, first and foremost. The asparagus and the morels are going to be their own thing. Going to grill the asparagus. Going to saute the morels for a little bit. With the warm morels and the pine nuts, I'm going to make a little vinaigrette and get some of the oil out of those pine nuts. And a little bit of lemon. And dress that cold asparagus with the warm vinaigrette with the morels. So that's its own thing. That's a first course. The lamb, I want peas, favas, baby carrots, whole shallots, all roasted together with that leg of lamb. Goodness me, ground almonds. If they're whole almonds, I would make a little bit of a crust for the lamb with that guy. I guess I could use the ground for that, but that can be kind of fun. That's something that you see in Calabria a little bit when those guys come in season. Also in Spain. The baguette, if it's fresh, I'm going to eat it. what else? Any herbs? I mean, rosemary is just coming back right now. Always nice to have for lamb. Lavender is just coming back right now. Nice to have for lamb. Be nice to have a few of those flowers that you could from the lavender if you have any that's flowering yet. Probably too early for that locally. But in a fantasy land, in the extra virgin olive oil with a little bit of acid so that it kind of wakes up and you have a little something to dip that baguette into, mm-hmm. along with the jus from the lamb. Flour. Flour, eggs. What am I going to make? A pancake?
Strawberries.
You randomized me pretty good.
Yeah, the avocado part.
While avocado is delicious, I don't know that I want it with lamb or that I want it with mushrooms. Strawberry is citrus. I mean, you could do one of the weirdest dips of all time with the pickled red onions and avocado and the strawberries. But that flour, eggs, and strawberries kind of, I mean, that's like, well, I want to make clafoutis now with the strawberries. So not traditional strawberries instead of cherries, but that'd be fun. Or you could use orange peel as well as the strawberries and kind of like bring up the citrus in that. What else is to be used? Pickled red onions. I love pickled red onions, but, I mean, what do you make a relish with them, I guess, for the lamb? Just a little relish?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
What else? Is that everything?
Spinach.
I didn't use the spinach. Just wintered over spinach. It's going to be the strongest stuff of the year. You put that in your health shake.
All right. And so how about this, Tony? Do you have a spring cocktail? I know you like to talk about wine, but what about something fun or something fun to serve, you know, with people coming over?
Spring cocktail is rosé.
Okay.
There are so many delicious rosé, and 18 is a strong year in a lot of Europe. A lot of those are showing up. But everything from like Dellinger's Pinot Noir rosé from Sonoma Valley is coming to market. Some of the Bordeaux rosé, which are kind of big and fat, mostly Merlot-based, are coming to market. There's Sancerre rosé that's Pinot Noir that's fresh and bright. But all the South of France rosés. Fonsainte is a producer that's made particularly good rosé, and their bottling is called Gris de Gris, and a sort of a funny gold label on it. And that's very good and inexpensive.
Cool.
Commanderie Le Bargemont makes good rosé and X. That's all the stuff to look for. That's my spring cocktail.
Okay.
So, well, thanks for listening today. You can download this episode or any other podcast on the WYPR website, wypr.org. Go to the Foreman Wolf page, and there's a full menu of goodies there. If you want to email us, it's foremanwolf@wypr.org. If you want to follow Chef Cindy Wolf on social media,
you can follow me on Instagram as Chef Wolf or on Twitter as Chef Cindy Wolf.
And mine is The Real Tony Foreman on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening.
And happy Sunday.
And happy spring.
Mm-hmm.